It is my privilege today to introduce some of you for the first time to Dr. Gary and to Susan. And if you've been coming to church here for any length of time, and Dr. Gary is a very familiar face to you. He has been such a blessing to our church over the years. I talked a little bit about Pastor Tom, you know, my Father's Day devotional there. But Pastor Tom always identified Dr. Gary as just one of his best friends. And I know that was mutual. And when Tom was first starting the church and had been through some rough periods in his life, Dr. Gary is one of those friends that was good to Tom even when things were going hard for Tom. And there's always a special blessing, I think, when you get the chance, when somebody who's been good to you when you were having a rough time, and then you get to try to be good to them when they're going through a rough time. And so, you know, brother, we've been praying for you guys. And just as some of you, you know, this involved in the church prayer letter on the church prayer team know that Dr. Gary and Susan just lost a daughter here. And there's nothing we can say. And I'm not trying to wreck the sermon here other than just to tell you guys just how much we love you and how it's been a privilege for us just to pray along with you on this. There are some losses, just as my dad mentioned, only the Lord can fill those. And the Lord does that in his own way and time, and you guys know this, and I just want to say that we're here for you, that we love you and that we've got your back. And, you know, sometimes just with Evangeline, you know, obviously we still have her with us, thank the Lord, up to this point. But I just hold on to the promise that, you know, the Lord says that the present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And there's glory and there's grace. And Dr. Gary and Susan, in addition to just having been through an especially difficult time this year, you know, Gary, his health has been difficult. Both of you guys have had challenges in your health. And, you know, anytime there's that much opposition, anytime there's that much difficulty, it must mean that you're doing something right. And they're engaged directly in prayer warfare down in the mountains of New Mexico, and they are prayers, and they are working on training other pastors and missionaries and evangelists to pray. Dr. Gary helped teach me how to pray, how to really pray. And if you think, do you really need how to know how to pray? You know, something that Dr. Gary said, you know, it's like the disciples never asked Christ to teach them how to preach or teach them how to counsel or teach them how to do children's ministry or teach them how to put on a VBS. But they asked Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Prayer is such enormously difficult work. If you don't think so, you've never really tried. Praying's enormously difficult work, and I am so grateful. I think it won't be until heaven that we'll really see all that was accomplished just in the life of Spokane Baptist Church and mine and some of yours because of the prayers of these dear saints. And it's just a blessing to have them here, you know, even on Father's Day. And to thank you for all that you invested into Tom and into me, and it's a privilege to have him. You just help me make him feel welcome and loved here this morning, if you would.
Well, I have a severe back degeneration. For years, I carried Bubba Joe on my shoulders at the Electric Light Parade in Disneyland. I told him last year, no more, I'm done. Tough love. Our little Gracie, she's 30 now, married to a pastor starting a church in Shawnee, Oklahoma. When she was six, she told me, she said, Dad, are you a conehead? So I haven't spoken to her for 24 years. Tough love. You got to have some tough love. And it's so great to be a father, but only because of kids, right? It'd be overrated if it wasn't for the kids, and especially the grandkids. You got to love those grandkids. I see Nick is really looking good since he got married. I'm telling you, he's more handsome. He wears better clothes. He cleans up good. And that's good, you know. I always said, you know, I don't know if I could go to a church where that would allow Paul Pizzello to be a member. Where's Paul? Oh, okay. But I've repented recently. And I said, wherever Paul Pizzello is a member, that's where you ought to go. That's where you ought to go. We love Paul and Liz and Angela. I'm telling you what, she has tested the power of God, hasn't she? I mean, to find a candidate for husband for her has tested God. I've talked to him about it. And he said, I don't know what to do, Brother Gary. God calls me Brother Gary quite often. Yeah. But anyway, wow. So happy for Angela. She means so much to us. And we've had so much good laughter and friendship and love in the Lord. Always great to see Miss Debbie down here in her tribe. She brings her tribe. Thank God she doesn't bring her puppies. Yeah. Well, you know, if you believe in heaven, you got to believe in little puppy heaven, right? We know there's white horses there, so there's got to be some little puppies there, I'm sure. I love puppies. And I'm American, you know. What's not to love with a puppy? And, you know, I said this last time I was here, that, you know, the problem with Facebook is too many people put their faces on it, right? It's a avenue for narcissistic people to say, don't I look good with my curly hair? It used to be curly. But one thing I love about Facebook is that around here, all the activities, they take pictures. And Susan and I, there at the ranch in New Mexico, we get to see your smiling faces as you work with the kids and in the youth and the different ministries. It's just, and so that really blesses us, reminds us to pray for you. And good to see Yosemite Sam back here. I met him at a men's prayer breakfast, first time I met him, and he's a little gruff, you know. And so I said, he reminds me of Yosemite Sam, you know, the soul winner, Yosemite Sam. You know, pow, pow, heaven or hell, turn or burn, right? And so good to see you, brother. Nice tan, too. And but anyway, where was I before I was interrupted by him? This is such a great church. When Susan and I need an uplift, we come to Spokane Baptist Church. And I mean that seriously. It's always an uplift to see your faces and your love and your spirit and your attitude. There's a lot of churches, you know, you go to, and I'm telling you, if they're saved, I'm not sure, because you ought to be able to smile at somebody and say good morning, right? And one woman, she says, son, you have to get up. It's Sunday. He says, I don't want to get up. He said, no, you need to get up and go to church. I don't want to go to church. And she said, son, get up. You got to go to Sunday school and church. He said, those people don't like me down there. Those Sunday school teachers don't like me. Son, you got to get up and go to church. Why? Because you're the pastor. You know, some Christians look like when they were baptized, they were baptized in lemon juice, you know. If you're happy, let your face know it, right? And I'm about all face, you know. A little boy said, Mama, did his neck grow a balloon? You know. But anyway, bald is beautiful. And the Bible says we'll all be bald when we get to heaven. Well, it does say we'll be perfect, right? That's right. So it's got to include that. So good to have my wife, Susan, here. She's the greatest. Wow, I couldn't travel at all without her. And then the prayer experiences, I always say, yeah, pray for her knees, because it's hard for her to get the luggage in and out of the hotel room. You know, she carries me. And she's the best grandma. I'm telling you, she works so hard. And we'll be flying back tomorrow night. Then we spend the night in Albuquerque. I go to the doctor. We pick up groceries, head back to the ranch, check everything else out the ranch, get it ready. We have a prayer experience then scheduled Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Had a call from a preacher last night from Texas that just said, man, I just need to really get a hold of God, and I just really need to get with God. And that only happens when we pray and when we seek the Lord. And Father's Day, wow, it's so great to be a father. I I tell, our children that the greatest thing is to have kids that grow up in the admonition of the Lord and are serving the Lord. And, you know, our son Joe and his wife Kathleen and little Gabriel and little Joe, the wrangler, and bear hunter, little Joe's a bear hunter. He looks at a picture every day of me with a bear that I killed in the mountains of New Mexico. And he's afraid of bears, but he wants to go bear hunting with Papa. All the time he wants to go bear hunting with Papa. So we flew in and surprised him on one of their Sundays down there. And those kids, you know, they FaceTime us and Marco Polo and all that. And they're so excited to see us. And when we showed up, they went. They wouldn't talk. I guess they were stunned by deity. But anyway, if God's blessed you with kids, you know, praise the Lord for it, you know. I prayed for patience, so God gave us a lot of kids. But our kids are serving the Lord, and there's nothing better than that. And on the way to church this morning, I told Susan, I said, you know, Spokane Baptist Church is one of the most unique churches I have ever been to. And it's unique in a good way. You know, so many churches are just dead and just stuck in the mud and just social clubs, but not this church. This church is a remarkable church. And if you know, there's so much love, there's so much Bible teaching, there's so much Bible counsel from the deacons. You have two of the best fathers in the world here at this church. Your pastor is one of the best fathers that I know. Now, he wouldn't admit to that, but if you see him around his children and around the children of other people, this man is a godly, tremendous man of God, father, and you ought to thank God for that. We need that kind of a testimonies. And then his father, one of the greatest fathers I know, is Don Tucker. What a man of God in his own right. And I'm saying that because he's the treasurer and he writes the checks. Yeah, it just went up. Yeah. But if it wears a hockey puck on their head, you know, you're not supposed to do stuff like that, right? You're not, yeah. But we love Brother Don Tucker. He is a man of God. And this church wouldn't be here without him. I miss Tom Asbury. I still have his number in my phone. I'm afraid to dial it. What if he answers? Yeah. And but it was Pastor Tom and Don Tucker and Josh that had a vision from Brother Tom and started this church. And so many have been saved. Lives have been changed. What a wonderful, wonderful place. And I remember when I'd come here to preach revivals or special days, Brother Tom would take me to lunch, and he'd always ask me, Brother Gary, what can I do to make things better? What can I do? Have you got any advice or counsel for me? And I remember there was a Mexican restaurant over, I think, in Liberty Lake by a golf course or something. And we were having lunch, and he said, now, you know, after being there for a week in a revival, he said, do you have anything that might help? And I said, well, if I were you, I would take you and your associate, Pastor Josh, and take him to Lancaster, California, to the leadership conference there in Lancaster, California. And he said, okay. He said, I'll do it. And you need to see that there's a bigger world out there. A godly world where people are serving the Lord, winning souls to Christ, building people, discipling people. And I preached many times with Paul Chappell's father and knew Paul when he was a young man. And the ministry that they've developed there, the administration and organization is just tremendous. So for me, every year when I hear that Pastor Josh is there and he took some people with him, it thrills me because I had a part in that one luncheon. And when Pastor Josh is there, he sees our son Josh, who's the pastor of Lakewood Baptist Temple in Lakewood, Washington, and also Bubba Joe. I call him Bubba Joe. And I say, you better straighten up, Jack. I call him Jack sometimes too. But And he's starting that church in Aliso Viejo, California. And so it's such a blessing for those guys to see each other and to pray for one another and keep on keeping on. It's such a great thing for me to be here on a Father's Day. And I want to give you an algorithm today about how to be a successful father, an algorithm on how to be a successful mother and grandmother and grandfather, brother and sister, and a successful Christian. Now, algorithm, boy, that's pretty fancy. I guess you didn't know I was so tech savvy. An algorithm is a set of rules. An algorithm is a set of rules that if you follow those rules, here's the end result. Now, a mathematical equation is an algorithm. And if you do this and plus this and minus this and take the square of the hypotenuse, then it will come out this. And so as long as you work that equation, the answer will always be the same. An algorithm is actually as basic as baking a cake. It's a recipe. So an algorithm for baking a cake would be, well, you got to have eggs and you got to have flour and you got to have sugar and it's got to be made with love, and right? And if you would do these things and put it all together, you'll come out with a tasty cake. That's an algorithm. It's a recipe. It's a simple plan. And so I want to give you an algorithm today. As a father, when we have been so blessed in our family to see our kids to grow up and serve the Lord and see our grandkids following in those footsteps, and the little grandkids, they're singing in church and they're serving the Lord and they're winning people to Christ and all that kind of thing. And I want to share something with you, and it's going to be so simple. But so we read in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 2, let's look at verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he says, my little children, do you know that when you're born again, you become a child of God? I'm a child of the King. I'm a VIP. Not because of me, but because of my Father. And God don't make no junk. And we were created by him and for him. And then we're redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're twice his. And we're little children. There's an old hymn, a child of the King, a child of the King. Wow, that's something. Often give the testimony about how my great-grandparents were one of the wealthiest families in Seattle, Washington, and he was a contractor, built the Baltimore sewer system and water system. And when my great-grandfather passed away, somewhere between him and me, the fortune was lost. So we had to soak those welfare beans. Man, you had to soak those beans to get them, you know, in the pot and cook them for a long time. I remember when our little dog, Dolly was her name, half Dachshund and half Cocker Spaniel, Mom burnt the beans, and so she put them on the back porch, and that dog ate all those beans. And I come home from school, and that dog's laying there, her belly all bloated up from eating those beans. That's why I don't eat beans today. So we had the welfare Spam. I hate Spam. You know, on the Indian reservation, Spam is a delicacy. Not for me. I hate Spam. We had it in the round cans, the government cans with all that jelly goo on them. We had it baked, fried, broiled, boiled, and barbecued. And so I grew up in a welfare home in Seattle, Washington. And a spiritual father, Bill Thorne, I guess he was, he took me to Sunday school, and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And Bill Thorne has long been in heaven, and I'm still bearing fruit today for Bill Thorne. Thank God for Bill Thorne, for a Sunday school teacher, for a bus man. That, you know, you ought to fill, how many seats do you have in your car? They ought to all be filled on Sunday morning. Because people need Spokane Baptist Church, because Spokane Baptist Church tells people about Jesus Christ and how to be born again. And somebody told me, and I'm here today because of the faithfulness of Bill Thorne. And so I grew up poor. I never thought I'd graduate from high school. And I never thought I'd go to college. I never thought that I would have three doctorate degrees, a PhD in psychology, hooked on pahonics. And thank you, Debbie. And yet I realized as I was growing up in a church as a child and then in a youth group, the youth group is so important, that I was a child of the King. I'm telling you, my wife and I, we live on a millionaire's ranch. It's one of the most beautiful properties you'd ever see. We live there all alone, just the two of us. And they've built beautiful cabins and houses. They just put in a half acre lake for me because they know how much I love to fish. I bet that lake was, I don't know, $60,000 to $100,000. They put trout this big in there, and all for me. Well, not exactly. They put it in there for their family, for their little grandkids. But, you know, God just loves us, doesn't he? And one of these days, you fishermen, we're going to be able to catch catfish like that in heaven out of the river of life. Won't that be something? But we're a child of the King. Did you know you're a child of the King? If you've confessed with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And to as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons, the children of God. We're children of the King. That's something. Now, if you had a letter from President George Washington, the first president and the founder of our nation, wouldn't you love that letter? Wouldn't you read that letter? Wouldn't you memorize that letter if you had a letter from George Washington to you? If you had a letter from Abraham Lincoln to you, wouldn't you treasure that letter? Wouldn't you read that letter? Wouldn't you read it until it was dog-eared and torn and maybe some tears on that letter from Abraham Lincoln? Wait a minute. You have a letter from God. A letter from God. And so the Bible says, the Bible says in verse 13 where we read, and thank you, where's Dave? Where's David? Oh, there's David. Boy, I'm telling you, David just looks like a mortician, doesn't he? I'm telling you, he stands at the front door, you know. In New Mexico, we call them buzzards. But I noticed today he's getting better looking. He dresses so sharp. I love Brother David. I love him. I only kid people I love. Angela, I'm not kidding you. No, I'm just kidding. But Brother David read the scriptures. I was so proud of him standing up here and reading the scriptures and serving the Lord here at Spokane Baptist Church. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Wait a minute, fathers. Do you know him that is from the beginning? Do you know the Alpha and the Omega? Do you know Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The algorithm is, first of all, you've got to know the Lord. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Well, first of all, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a soul-saving station here, Spokane Baptist Church. But fathers, you've got to know God, him that has been from the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. Do you know God? It's immaterial whether you know how to fish or not. It's immaterial whether you know how to golf or not. It's immaterial whether you need to know how to build a house. But do you know God? Your children need a father that knows God. And God's been speaking to me this week, specifically for this Sunday. And I never sleep well the night before we're here because I'm praying all night long because I want the words to come from God through me. And the Lord's been speaking to me, and I was reminded even this morning by Pastor Josh of Exodus when the law was given to Moses. And God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, maybe we don't worship idols today, a graven image. Maybe we don't bow down to a stone monument and pray. But we have some gods that take the place of God. In all of our houses, you walk into the living room, what's the main thing on the wall? Right? Used to be on the stand, but now it's on the wall. A television set. Let me ask you this. Do you watch TV? Whoa. Woo-hoo-hoo. Do you watch out, Brother Knuff? Yeah, because you're about ready to convict yourself. Do you watch TV more than you read God's letter to you? Ooh, I'm talking to Gary Knuff. Wow, we got these incredible computers. We've got Facebook. Let me ask you something. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says, I'm a jealous God. We were created by him and for him. And I thank God for Facebook because we're able to communicate with people. There's a lot of trash on there. There's a lot of negativity. But let me ask you, do you spend more time checking your Facebook than checking with God? I'm just saying, Brother Knuff, you're getting a little close to me now. And yeah. How about our emails? How many times a day do you check your emails? I know they're kind of obsolete now, but but how many times a day do you check your emails? Whoa, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What about your golf game? I'm not against golf. I'm not against hobbies. But wait a minute, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you read more about God or golf than you do God, maybe you have an idol in your life. And God's a jealous God. And so in the algorithm, may I say to you, it will change your life as a father or mother or as a Christian if you will just read God's word daily. Day and night, the Bible says in Joshua 1:8. Day and night. In Psalms chapter 1, day and night. So what if you just took a little bit of time, and you fellows that work, get yourself a little New Testament, carry in your pocket. When you have lunch, read the Word of God. When you take a break, read the Word of God. It'll change your life. When I look at our children, their lives were steeped in the Word of God. And a president and his wife said, it takes a village to raise a child. Not true. The village will corrupt your child. The city will corrupt your child. Here's what I found. It takes a godly family and a godly church to raise a godly child. Our kids are serving God today and our preachers and serving the Lord and humble before God, not just because of us, but because of the churches that loved them and encouraged them and taught them. And so, my friend, I want to encourage you today in the algorithm for your success with God. See, our life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, then it vanisheth away. Are you bringing me water? Thank you, brother. I was going to say good morning to you earlier, but you walked away from me. I appreciate so much all the workers. Like, honestly, I saw him in the fellowship hall, and man, he's there working. And so, where was I before he interrupted me? So I want to challenge you to just read the Word of God. Our life appears for a little while and vanishes away. Just 90 days ago, almost to the day, our daughter went into the hospital with a seizure. And she was doing better. And our youngest daughter, Gracie, had massaged her feet and had anointed them actually with oil, those smell good oils or whatever those things are, those healthy oils. And the lady had just done her hair and she was doing better and she was able to speak and she was doing better and the doctors were encouraged and She gets back into bed, and our youngest daughter had left. And all of a sudden, her husband's sitting there, and our 41-year-old daughter, her eyes got big. She says, "Oh, God." She doesn't say, "Oh, God." She doesn't say, "OMG." But I believe she saw God. And she had a blood clot and died right there. Susan was at Josh and Tasha's. Natasha was in labor. I had just gotten back to the ranch when the call came from our son-in-law. See, I'm just saying, life is short. We are citizens of heaven. When you're born again, you are a citizen of heaven. We're children of the King. We're God's children. Not everybody, but only those that are born again. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." The Pharisees, the religious people that were lost. So our life just appears for a little while. We're citizens of heaven. So we've got to get ready for heaven. The way to get ready for heaven is to read the word in the morning. For eternity, for eons upon eons, everlasting, you are going to be a citizen of heaven. So read God's word to you. Read it in the morning. Read it at noon. Read it in the evening. Just read it. You say, "I don't understand it." That's okay. You take a screen or a sieve and you pour water through it. And the Bible says the word is like water. It cleanses our minds. It cleanses our life. The washing of the word. Let's get back to it. Let's get rid of the idols. Those things in and of themselves are okay. We have people that come to our area that will spend $20,000, $25,000 to hunt an elk, a trophy elk. We have some of the largest elk. We have elk in our meadow outside our house, 40 or 50 of them every night. We have by our front door. During the mating season, man, they're bugling right by our bedroom. And they'll pay $20,000, $25,000. And these people, they hunt all over the world. And they really have an idol in their life because they don't know God. They don't know Jesus. I'm just saying, many of the things that we do are okay in and of themselves, but they take the place and the time of God. How long does it take to read five verses of Scripture or a chapter of Scripture or one verse? Read it in the morning. Oh, listen, the algorithm, read it in the morning, read it at noon, read it in the evening. And then secondly, pray. Pray. Pray for your children. Pray for your spouses. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your pastor. ye have not, because ye ask not. But so we need to read the word in the morning and noon at night. One man said, no Bible, no breakfast. He wouldn't have breakfast if he didn't read the Bible first. You don't have to do a deep study. Just read it. And the Bible says if you'll read Revelation, and I've had pastors say, I can't preach Revelation. I don't even understand Revelation. But the Bible says if you'll read Revelation, there's a special reward and blessing for you just to read Revelation. So the algorithm for success, to be in the place of God's blessing, is to read the word, read the word, read the word. Take that little New Testament, guys, and take it to your job and read the word whenever you can. Maybe type it out on a computer and run it off and post it on the wall of your job or of your house. Read the word. Put it on the refrigerator. That's where you go the most. Put it on the refrigerator. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the Bible says. You want to know where you're going? You want to go successfully? You want to be blessed? You want to have God's blessing upon your life and upon your family? Read the word and pray and pray and pray. And having done all, pray some more. In the algorithm, read the word. I promise you, you guys go home and start reading it every morning, every afternoon. So, you know, turn off the computer, turn off the Facebook, turn off the text, you know. People walk into me at the mall, they're texting, boom, you know. And we're so, social media has so captured us, and it can be a tool of God or it can be a tool of Satan. Read the word, pray. And then the Bible says, ye fathers, you've known God from the beginning. And then it says, you young men, be strong in the Lord. Satan's going to try to sift you like wheat. Young people, young couples, young adults, Satan is against you and wants to destroy you. You've got to be spiritually strong to battle Satan. And then thirdly, it says, little children. The Bible says if you hinder a little child, it'd be better than a millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast on the sea. If you would hinder and offend one of these little ones. That's why the children's ministry is so very important. And then because I have to close in verse 20 of that chapter, it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. We have to get back to reading the word morning, noon, and night. It refocuses our life. This world is a mess. Our Congress is a mess. What a dysfunctional. Our Congress puts the funk in dysfunctional. What a mess. I'm telling you. How I look at our little grandchildren this week. Their little chubby arms, their little legs, their little knees. And I wonder, how are they going to make it through? Mom and Dad, how are you going to make it through? Pastor, how are you going to make it through? In the Word. Don't worry about all this stuff. My mother, before she passed away last October, she was a reporter for Fox News. Every week I would call her and she would tell me what was on Fox News. But she read her Bible every day and saw the Lord. She was a little angry at God because she wanted to go home earlier and he waited a while before he took her home. But she was in the Word every single day. Are you in Fox News? Are you in CNN? Are you on Facebook? You know, those things may be good in and of themselves, but spend more time in the Word, morning, noon, and night, and then prayer, and then the unction of the Holy Ghost. The unction, the word means anointing, and it's for a pastor. It's for special service. It's for a pastor. It's for a deacon. It's for a Sunday school teacher. It's for a parent. The unction of the Holy Ghost. It's an anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Susan and I, as parents, we can't take any credit. We can't take any credit for our kids. For all the credit and glory belongs to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But you want an algorithm for success, spiritual success, to prepare you as a citizen of heaven for all eternity? Be in the Word, read the Word every morning, every noon, every night. Pray every morning, every noon. Pray without ceasing. When you're driving in the car, be praying. When you're doing the dishes, be praying. Pray. Be filled with the Spirit of God, the unction of the Holy Ghost upon your life, where you have divine wisdom, divine discernment, divine power. While all this craziness is going on in the world, God has a plan, and you're part of his plan, or you wouldn't be here on this earth today. The will of God. We can know the will of God. God wants you to be saved. We know that's God's will. And then God has a plan for your life. This last week, a businessman, for years, his business went from $20 million a year to nothing. He had $1 million house overlooking the mountains and his house was foreclosed on. And he had prostate cancer. And then he went bankrupt. And then 1 year ago in March, his 31-year-old son in Seattle, Washington, Green Lake, Washington, fell off a ladder. They took him to the hospital. He came home again. His 31-year-old son had a blood clot and died in the bathroom with his wife in the other room. Here's this man who has lost everything. I've been discipling and counseling and coaching this man. He's come to the ranch for some private spiritual boot camps where we'll take 3 or 4 days and just hike and pray and read the scriptures and share and exhort. And he came to see us this week. And he's praising God and loving. He lives now in a little trailer with his dog in Lincoln City, Oregon. And I said to him, I said a couple of things. I said, first of all, who could God trust with tragedy and heartache like you and Job have been through? I told him, read the book of Job, and he's read it several times. And I said, now you tell me, what is it that God wants you to do with the rest of your life? He said, well, I believe God wants me to have a ministry for children. And I said, well, I bet you could make your millions back if you would give that to the ministry of children. What is it that God wants you to do with the rest of your life? What will it take to bring you to the end of yourself, to where you're willing to cry, uncle, and I'll do anything, Lord? What will it take to get you and I to put down the idols and read God's word, his letter to us, every morning, every noon, every night, and pray and have a little prayer list and pray for one another every morning, noon, and night? It doesn't take long to pray without ceasing down, going down the road, to have an anointing, an unction of the Holy Ghost, a special unction from God. That's how you raise godly kids. And that's how you get through the heartaches and the trials and the burdens of life. It's the only way. It's the only way. And this life is so short, and eternity as a citizen of heaven is so long. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I love you, Father God. Thank you for being my Father. Thank you for loving me and our family and loving this church and Pastor Josh and Heather and little Vanny. Oh, and Hugo, and all the wonderful people of this church, citizens of heaven, children of the King. We praise you and thank you in the house of the Lord this Father's Day. Father God, in Jesus' name and by the Spirit of God, we praise you and thank you for all your blessings. And then, Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask you, if there be anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, that their name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're not yet a citizen of heaven, I pray that they'd realize God is calling them through Jesus Christ. I pray if there be anyone here that does not know Christ, that this morning they would accept him. And I pray for us Christians, we get sidetracked. I get sidetracked so easily. Help us, Lord, please, to come back to the Word, to prayer, and to the Spirit. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just one moment, I'm going to interrupt my prayer. But if you're here this morning and you're not 100% certain that you're a citizen of heaven, you're not 100% certain that if you died today that you'd go to heaven, I want to pray for you. If you are not 100% certain, if you are not sure that your eternal destination is heaven, I want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up right now? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you'll slip your hand up anywhere, yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. Are there others that would join these? I'm not 100% certain. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, those people that raise their hand, I want you to pray in your heart this. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and save me right now. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and save me right now in Jesus' name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. Those of you that have prayed that prayer, I want you to read your Bible every day. I want you to come and talk to Pastor Josh and Deacon Don and the other deacons and get involved in a church that will love you and teach you and help you and train you and pray for you. Read your Bible. Pray. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Help every Christian here to come back to the basics. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to have a hymn of invitation.